Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust shooting trial against Alec Baldwin from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now back to the courtroom.
Mr. Spiro.
Good afternoon. You had seen when you were testifying earlier Mr. Baldwin in court today, correct?
Okay.
And this is the first time that you've seen him since, I believe, since the day that the incident occurred. And of course, you know, you see him here as a defendant in a courtroom wearing a suit jacket. He wasn't dressed like that on the scene, right?
Right.
He was Harlan Rust, and he had his actor costume on, right?
Yes.
And you actually took those clothes and tested them for blood, like you said before, right?
I did.
And he was shaking as you did that, huh?
He seemed upset as I did that.
And of course, you remember that, right?
Yes.
And the lapel that you've reviewed has refreshed your memory.
Correct.
And you know that he received a phone call from his friend Joel, the director who had been shot, and you used that information to then send officers to the hospital to retrieve the bullet, correct?
I believe we already had deputies at the hospital at that time.
But he told you that and told you that that would be something that he wanted you to do. Right.
He indicated it was something he wanted law enforcement to do, but we were already making the necessary, we were already sending a deputy to the hospital to retrieve that.
And he told you that he pulled the gun out, he turned, and he just cocked the gun, right?
He did state that, yes.
He didn't say he pulled the trigger, right?
I don't recall him saying that.
And you never tested the hammer of that gun for DNA, did you?
I do not know the FBI lab's process for processing a firearm for DNA.
But because he told you that, and I'm putting up A10, Ben's exhibit, that's why you knew that the document that had fallen near Ms. Hutchins that says macro on hammer as thumb cocks it was so important. Isn't that right?
There was a paper inside of the church that indicated a firearm was being used, so I photographed it. We had paperwork that was later collected out of Ms. Hutchins's side bag that was also additional script. And that was collected because it was part of her bag, part of her personal property.
And you see the name Helena on top, right?
Yes, this is what was taken out of her bag.
And what was at the floor, A3, Russ Cole cocked quietly now. Did I read that right?
Yes.
And you and your fellow officers discussed this and said, this is important. It confirms what he told us, didn't you?
I believe that I stated it was important because it was a script that involved a firearm inside the church where a shooting had occurred.
And after this point in time, eventually, you all sent that firearm off, not to have the firearm tested, its hammer for DNA, but rather for it to end up being destroyed in the testing, or broken in the testing, if you prefer.
The firearm was sent for DNA, and additional testing was not conducted until later.
We were talking also, to move away from the firearm for a second, about how the lethal round got on set, right?
Yes.
And Mr. Baldwin, you actually told him that you would figure it out. You gave him that assurance. You said, I get it. I know that there was a live round, wasn't supposed to be on set. We law enforcement are going to find that out, didn't you?
I believe the words that I used was, that's why we're here. We're here to try and figure out what happened.
And one of your fellow officers sort of came over the top of you and sort of confirmed to him, don't worry, we're going to find out.
Objection to whatever a fellow officer...
Effect on listener? What? One word, but objection. Yes, okay. What is it?
Objection, hearsay. The officer isn't here. Who he's speaking of?
Respond.
It's not for the truth of the matter asserted, but that it was her.
Okay. Well, did you lay the foundation for that? Did you ask her what she did because of that?
Not yet, but I can.
Okay.
And after you...
Foundation for effect on listener.
After what you said and what you heard from your fellow officer, it is true, as you've testified previously, that you did go out to see the source of that lethal round, right?
Please rephrase your question as to the word seek.
Sure. After you said what you said and the officer said what he said, is it not the case that you made it a priority to try to find the source of the lethal ammunition, correct?
Our priority was to find the facts of what had happened in this situation.
And one of the steps that you took that we talked about by searching the truck, by going to Seth Kenny, by getting to PDQ, one of the things you then did was you did seek out and try to find the source of the lethal ammunition, correct?
Yes.
And as you were doing that, you continued to work with Corporal Hancock, right?
Yes.
You would see her and the prosecutors often, right?
I would see Corporal Hancock more often.
And you testified previously about the search for the lethal ammunition at the trial of the armorer, correct?
Yes.
A question came up at that trial of this issue of did Seth Kenny really provide the ammunition to Seth or not, right?
Yes, I believe that came up.
Okay. And eventually there was a verdict in that case, right?
Yes.
And a good Samaritan walked into the police station and gave you the lethal ammunition, didn't they?
After the Hannah Gutierrez trial, there was an individual that came to the police station and stated they had ammunition.
And they turned in the ammunition?
Yes.
And they gave it to you, right?
Yes.
And they told you that this was the ammunition that ended up with Seth Kenny that killed Ms. Hutchins, right?
I do not recall all of their statements.
Who did you tell about that?
During that conversation, my Lieutenant Brian Brandle, was with me, and Detective Hancock was aware of that individual, that he had come to the sheriff's office.
And you never vouchered that and turned it over to the defense, did you?
It was a doc information situation.
I don't know what that means. Can you just explain it to me?
Meaning that I was instructed by my lieutenant to create a doc info report on it.
And I mean, what does that mean?
It means we're documenting information that this individual came and gave this ammunition to us.
Okay, but you didn't, I mean, he told you it had to do with the Rush shooting, correct?
Yes.
And he told you actually that he was a police officer in a neighboring county, right?
I believe he said he was a retired police officer, yes.
And he told you all had been duped by Seth Kenny, didn't he?
No.
In words and substance, didn't he?
I don't recall that, no.
Okay. And he said to you, I'm willing to fill out a witness statement, right?
No, I don't recall that.
He told you that the rounds came from a green ammo can, didn't he?
Sustained.
Did you take the rounds that were provided to you? By the way, they were Starline Brass Nickel Primer Live, weren't they?
I don't recall.
You don't recall? Really?
That is what I said.
It's information acted upon is going to be my response. But he told you the reason that he was coming in is because he didn't trust law enforcement on this case.
Well, you know what? She's going to object to hearsay, and you're going to say effect on listener. Okay. Well, you're going to have to lay your foundation better. You are.
So, let me ask this question. How come law enforcement didn't voucher this with the rest of the evidence in the Rust case?
I'm not sure what you mean by the word voucher.
How come you didn't inventory it and put it with all the rest of the evidence in the Rust case?
I was instructed to put this in as a doc information case, which I did, and it is under that case number.
You buried it?
No.
Your lieutenant?
There is a supplemental report on it, and that was placed into evidence.
Did you ever turn that over to the defense?
I have not turned over anything to the defense. My information goes through the sheriff's office.
Are you aware of whether the sheriff's office ever informed the defense that a good Samaritan came in and turned in this ammunition?
I do not know.
When the defense came to view the Starline Brass nickel primer live ammunition with you, you didn't show them this, did you?
I did not have an evidence viewing with the defense. That was my coworker.
Your coworker didn't show this to the defense, correct?
I do not know.
Do you have any reason to believe your coworker showed this to the defense, given that it wasn't put in the same inventory as the Rust case?
No.
Did you or anyone from the sheriff's office ever tell the armorer or her lawyers that a good Samaritan came in after the verdict and gave you this information?
I do not know.
But you do agree. He did tell you that Seth said this was the evidence from the shooting, correct?
I don't recall what he stated, what someone else stated.
And you told him he didn't have to write a witness statement. Law enforcement was going to type up a report on it today, right?
I never stated any such thing about a witness statement.
He offered to provide a written witness statement so that it was clear. Did he not?
I do not recall that happening.
Okay. Did you give him assurances that you would type up a report on it?
I don't recall providing assurances to him.
Did you tell him that you would write up a report on it?
I don't recall doing that either.
Do you deny it?
No.
So when you testified earlier that you never found the ammunition that killed Ms. Hutchins, that wasn't true either, was it?
Can you rephrase the way you stated that?
Sure. As you sit here today, having had a good Samaritan turn in these 45 rounds into the precinct, right?
That's what you're discussing, yeah.
Yeah. You don't know whether or not you have in your possession the live rounds that killed Ms. Hutchins, do you?
The live round that killed Ms. Hutchins has been fired. Are you asking me about a connection between those live rounds and other ones?
I'm asking you, as we've talked about at great length, whether or not you withdrawn. I'm asking you, isn't it the case that law enforcement likely has the matching round to the ammunition that killed Ms. Hutchins?
I do not know.
And you do not know because you made a doc report about this and did not put it with the rest of the Rust evidence, correct?
Those rounds were not placed with the rest of the Rust evidence, correct?
Nor were they sent to the FBI for test with the Rust evidence, were they?
No, they were not.
I have no further questions for this witness at this time.
Redirect.
Ms. Poplar, are you a detective?
No, I am not.
Did you interview any of the witnesses in this case?
No, I did not.
You didn't interview Mr. Baldwin?
No.
You didn't interview Ms. Gutierrez?
No.
Mr. Spiro was asking you about the Good Samaritan who arrived at the Sheriff's Department after the Gutierrez trial. Can you tell the members of the jury when the Gutierrez trial was?
I don't recall exactly. I believe it was back in April.
Would you take end of February, beginning of March?
Yes, that sounds more accurate.
Okay. Do you recall the Good Samaritan's name?
I do not.
Would you recognize it if I said it to you?
Yes.
Troy Teske.
Yes, that was his name.
Are you aware that Troy Teske is a close friend of Hannah Gutierrez Reed's father?
No, I did not know that.
Are you aware that Troy Teske had his own motivations for wanting to place blame on Seth Kinney to help Hannah Gutierrez?
Objection. Irrelevant.
Overruled. Overruled.
Please answer.
No, I had no knowledge of that.
Now, to be clear, Is Mr. Baldwin charged with involuntary manslaughter for bringing live rounds on the movie set?
No.
Is Mr. Baldwin charged with involuntary manslaughter for loading a live round into the gun?
No.
Has a person already been tried and convicted for those things?
Yes.
To try to clarify some points, Starline Brass, is that a brand of ammunition?
Yes, it is.
Is it a brand of ammunition or a casing?
It is a casing.
Okay. And the live rounds from the set of Rust had nickel primers, right?
Yes.
Overruled.
So let me ask you this. When you went to EDQ to conduct your search, because you're not the detective, do you remember whether he had any surveillance video or not?
I don't remember.
So with regard to Mr. Kinney, prior to the search of PDQ, did Mr. Kinney actually bring his own live ammunition to the police station?
Yes.
So before you ever executed a search warrant, he went to the police station and said, I want to give you a sample of my live ammunition.
Yes.
And you took that and you sent it to the FBI, right?
Correct.
Now, with regard to ammunition, characteristics of some of this ammunition is, it says Starline Brass on the top, right? And when I say it says Starline Brass, describe to the jurors what the emblem is that we see.
It is a star, an arching line, and then another star.
The live ammunition that was taken from, was it all Starline Brass?
No.
Was it all nickel primers?
No.
Now, in addition to the stamp on the top of the casing and the color of the primer, does ammunition have different shaped projectiles?
Yes.
And when we're talking about the projectile, we're talking about, what are we talking about?
We're talking about the nose of the bullet, so what actually gets projected out the barrel of the gun.
Oh. I'm showing you what's been previously admitted. It's State's Exhibit 26. Remind us, which are the live rounds? The suspected live rounds, sorry, we'll get there.
The ones to the right.
And what are the ones on the left?
They are dummy rounds.
Is there a different shape to the tip of the projectile?
Yes.
Tell us what the difference is.
So the live rounds have a flattened surface to them, whereas our dummy rounds come to a further point. Sorry, I was trying to draw a line. Almost like a curvature to a better point.
At my request, prior to the Gutierrez trial, did you take out a ruler and measure those?
Yes, I did.
Do you recall the size of what we call the meplet, which is that very top of the projectile? Do you recall the size of the live rounds?
Yes, the live rounds were 6 millimeters and the dummy rounds were 4 millimeters.
Every single live round, well, suspected live round, taken from the set of Rust, was it a 6 millimeter meplet?
Yes.
All of the live ammunition that was taken from PDQ, to include the live ammunition that Seth Kinney brought into the sheriff's station, did any of those have 6 millimeter meplets?
No.
Do you have any evidence that Seth Kinney is the source of the live rounds on Rust?
No.
If you know, is there evidence that Hannah Gutierrez brought the live rounds onto the set of Rust?
Yes.
What is that evidence? Let's talk about it.
The evidence that I am aware of is a photograph on a cell phone of the rounds in the background of a photograph that was taken with a cell phone. Those rounds are the same ones from the same box that were being pulled from that day that were handed to Lieutenant Benavides.
State's Exhibit 12. But if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and clear your marks. Is this the box you're referring to right here?
Yes.
Is it your understanding that Hannah Gutierrez admitted to bringing that box on the set?
Yes.
And is it your understanding that Hannah Gutierrez actually provided evidence to the Sheriff's Department that she was provided that box by her father?
Yes.
And the Good Samaritan who came in with the live rounds and was telling you Seth Kinney's the bad guy, that happened how long after the incident?
That happened well after the incident in February, so March of this year.
So Ms. Hutchins died in what year?
In October of 2021.
And Mr. Teske, Anna Gutierrez's father's good friend, the Good Samaritan, he decided to bring this ammunition in after her conviction?
Objection.
Is that right?
Objection. Assumes facts, not in evidence. Misleading.
Overruled. Unless you want to come up and tell me.
Yes, I do.
All right, come on up.
Back the last question, please.
Mr. Teske, Hannah Gutierrez's father's good friend, decided to bring this ammunition in after that, right?
Go ahead and answer.
Yes.
In your experience, if Seth Kinney wanted to hide the fact that he had live ammunition at PDQ, he had plenty of time to get rid of it, right?
Yes.
And you found some there, right?
Yes.
And the photograph, well, was all of the live ammunition in the same place?
Yes.
Where was it found?
It was in a box on the bottom of a stack labeled as live ammo.
And let me, for completeness, was there live ammunition found in another room away from this box?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay. Did you find any ammunition that was not .45 caliber anywhere else at PDQ?
I believe there were two boxes of marked 38 caliber ammunition that were in another room.
Did Mr. Kinney tell you that his personal firearm's a 38?
No, I did not know that.
Okay. I'm going to show you what has been previously admitted as defendants A23. Is this, so when we're talking about 45 caliber ammunition, well, let's back up. Is that the only caliber of live ammunition or suspected live ammunition found on the set of Rust?
Yes.
A23. So if you find 38 live ammunition, is that important to you?
No.
Because 38 is not 45, right?
Correct.
So the 45 caliber ammunition that you found at PDQ, is this where you found it?
Yes.
Any mistaking that would be live ammunition?
No.
Why?
It was clearly marked as live ammunition in that box.
And let me ask you, Ms. Popple, the ammunition that the Good Samaritan, Mr. Teske, the close friend of Hannah Gutierrez's dad, when he, that ammunition that he brought to you after her conviction, you still have it?
Yes.
You can bring it in here, and you can show it to the jury, right?
Yes.
And they can see for themselves that it does not match the live ammunition from the set of Rust, correct?
Yes.
And that is obvious just when you look at it, is it not?
Yes.
Do you know how many boxes of dummy ammunition were provided to the set of Rust by Seth Kinney?
If I recall correctly, just one.
Do you know how many boxes of dummy ammunition were provided to the set by Hannah Gutierrez?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you were asked some questions on cross-examination, and I think they were related to... You were asked some questions about the live ammunition in the other actor's gun belt. You remember those questions on cross? And I think the actor was Jensen Ackles.
Correct.
Do you know whether or not Jensen Ackles checked his firearm on the set of the movie?
No.
Whether he did his own safety checks? Let's talk briefly about... Let me make sure I have the proper... I want to be clear, if you recall, showing you defendants A27. Where did those dummy rounds come from?
These were the dummy rounds removed from the box with blue writing that stated dummy rounds.
And who do you know supplied those rounds?
Seth Kent.
And I think I made a mistake on direct examination. This is State's Exhibit 30. Is that what I showed you?
Yes, I believe so.
And so those actually didn't come out of that box, did they?
Correct.
Do you know where they came from?
They came from a gun belt that was located inside of the prop truck.
Defendants A26, is that where they came from?
Yes.
Based on the dummy rounds in both of these pictures, from the box and from the gun belt, do they have distinctive characteristics?
Yes.
Have they been identified? Who do you know who supplied all of the dummy rounds that were in the gun belt and in the box?
Yes, that was Seth Kinney.
All right. You were asked some questions about some documents that photographed. Do you recall those questions?
Yes.
Trying to find them. Are counsel, are all of the exhibits still up here? I think that is a yes.
No, I have these. I have the script and shot.
Those are the exhibits? Does it say copy? Okay, can I use them?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as they're the same.
They're the same.
Okay, we'll just use your copies. This is Defendant's Exhibit A10. You remember being shown this?
Yes.
Do you have any idea when when scene 125 was being filmed?
No, I do not.
Same question for scene, is it 55 or 66? I apologize.
No.
68?
No.
115?
No.
118?
No.
121?
No.
130?
No.
In fact, if you know, was Ms. Hutchins killed during the filming of an actual scene?
No, she was.
She was not. Is that right?
Correct.
Same thing here for 118 again. Ms. Hutchins wasn't killed during the filming of a scene, was she?
No, she was.
Do you know, if you do, do you know who wrote the script?
No, I don't.
Do you know who the director of the movie was?
I believe that was Joel Susan.
Do you know whether or not he's going to come in and testify?
No, I do not.
Did he testify in the Gutierrez trial?
I believe he did, yes.
Did you interview the person who wrote the script?
No.
Did you interview any of the witnesses in the room at the time of the shooting?
No, I did not.
So you haven't talked to a single person who could tell you whether these defense A3 and A10 are relevant at all. Is that right?
Correct.
You were asked by Mr. Spiro whether or not it was true that live ammunition should never be on a movie set, and you said that was correct. Do you recall that?
Yes.
You've never worked on a movie set before, have you?
No, I've not.
How do you know that?
Makes sense to me. Makes common sense.
But do you know?
No, I do not know the rules of movie sets.
You're not aware that there are safety bulletins for the use of live ammunition on movie sets?
No, I did not know that.
All total, including prop truck, the entire scene out there at Bonanza Creek, how many real firearms were taken into evidence?
If I can look at my report.
Sure.
Leave 13 in total.
13 real firearms.
Yes.
Now, you were asked some questions about Mr. Kinney being present at the search of the prop truck. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Do you remember why he was present?
I don't recall the details of why he was present.
Do you recall how the sheriff's department got access to the safe?
Yes, Seth Kinney provided us with the combination.
And the firearms that you recovered, real and fake, who did they belong to?
It's my understanding they belonged to Seth Kinney.
Would you say that those firearms were many thousands of dollars in value?
Yes.
And do you know who provided the vast majority of the blank ammunition?
That I do not know.
Okay. Does it surprise you that the person who owns the guns had access to the safe?
No.
Have you ever discovered any evidence that Seth Kinney was ever physically present on the set of Rust other than the day that he helped unlock the safe for your search?
No.
Do you recall you were asked some questions about, you had information about a green ammo can, and that was one of the reasons that you executed the search warrant. You recall those questions?
Yes.
Do you remember where you got the information about the green ammo can?
I do not.
Did you review any of the photographs from any of the cell phone extractions that were done in this case?
No.
Did you look at any of the text messages between the different witnesses in this case?
No.
Do you have any information that Hannah Gutierrez previously asked if she could have live ammunition on the movie set she was working on with Nicolas Cage?
I do not have that information.
Okay. Now, I understand we've got some photographs of PDQ and it looked like it was really packed full of stuff. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, you called it a warehouse. Can you explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury about how big that facility is?
It's a very small facility. It has an upfront office, a hallway that leads to a bathroom, and one small workshop room, and then a room towards the back.
Is it possible for you to estimate the square footage?
No, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Okay. It's a small building.
Yes.
Now, as a crime scene technician, are you trained to find pieces of evidence in difficult areas?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a person's home or apartment that kind of looked like a hoarder place?
Yes.
How many times do you think that's happened to you?
Several dozen.
Several dozen?
At least, yes.
And you're trained to look for evidence in that kind of an environment?
Yes.
Is it your understanding that Mr. Kinney's business is a prop house?
Yes.
Would you expect a prop house to be full of props?
Yes.
Was the prop house indeed full of movie props?
Yes.
Did anyone live there?
I don't believe so, no.
Do you have any idea, based on the investigation that you did, whether or not Mr. Baldwin cocked the gun when he wasn't supposed to?
I do not have any information based on what I conducted.
Because you didn't interview any of those witnesses, right?
Correct.
You were asked some questions, or at least one or two questions, about your pretrial interview with the defense attorneys. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Was Mr. Spiro even present at your pretrial interview?
I don't believe so, no.
I'm almost done. Let me just review my notes. Okay. If you know, the investigation into the source of the live rounds, did that investigation continue after the case was turned over to the district attorney's office?
I do not know.
As a crime scene technician, in your experience, do revolvers go off by themselves?
Yeah. 701, 702.
Withdrawn.
Yeah, all right, thank you. That was stained.
I want to just back up real quick. You were asked a question on cross-examination about specifically information that you had prior to putting in the request for the accidental discharge testing. You recall that question?
Yes.
And I think you testified that you didn't recall what information you received. Is that right?
Yes.
And then you were provided a document to refresh your memory. Do you recall that?
Yes.
May I approach? Ms. Popple, you had an opportunity to review that?
Yes.
How many pages is it?
It is 3 pages.
Does that document say anything about accidental discharge testing?
Objection.
That is a refresh of memory, so it doesn't have to.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to sustain his objection.
Okay. I'm going to ask this question and maybe let's see how it goes. Does it say anything about the gun being destroyed?
No. I'm sorry. No.
Did that document refresh your memory as to what you understood from the FBI about what the condition of the gun would be after the testing?
Yes.
It does.
Does refresh my memory? Yes. I'm sorry. Can you restate that?
Does that document, the question you were asked on cross-examination, was about the information
so
that...
Counsel, okay. I'm sorry to break you up, but let me give you these.
Ms. Popple, was a fanny pack collected from the set of Rust?
Yes.
Do you know who the fanny pack belonged to?
Yes.
Who's that?
That was Hannah Gutierrez.
And was any of the live ammunition found in the fanny pack?
No.
So after Ms. Hutchins was shot, do you know whether or not the gun was unloaded by anyone on the set?
The information that was relayed to me was that the firearm was emptied by Hannah onto the cart.
Does that include the spent casing?
Yes.
I'll pass.
I just have one question. The Good Samaritan asked you in reference to the ammunition he provided. Question, and that's the one that killed Helene. And you said yes, correct?
I don't recall that.
Did you deny it?
I don't deny it.
No further questions.
All right, we're going to take our afternoon bathroom break. Please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court. And let's try to get back in around 3:20. Okay, thank you.
All rise to the jury.
Bench conference, but we're in recess for all intents and purposes for bathroom break. The rest.
There's more to come in the Rust shooting trial against Alec Baldwin from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64,000. That's WATER to 64,000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. WATER to 64,000.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.